spanning the Valley of the Sun and all across the 48th state. This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Happy Wednesday. Bruce St. James in for Gatos, Gatos and Chad Show. Yeah. We are 8 days away from the expiration of Title 42, which, by the way, needs to go away. And why it's on this day, on the 11th, is because for those people out there who will text and say, well, you guys, you want it to go the way. We don't have a pandemic. According to the government still, we're in pandemic mode.
No, we're not.
I know that, but the actual 11th is when everything ends.
It expires.
Right. Yeah, so
medical, or what do you call it? Health emergency.
Yeah, it expires. So why it took us this long to get to this point is beyond me.
Somebody was making money on it.
You think so? So Mexico has decided today, hey, you know what? We're gonna do you guys a solid over there on the other side of the border. You guys a solid. Yeah.
Looking out for us.
We're going to take a few people in.
Oh.
A couple people. How many, we don't know. From what country, we haven't quite said yet. You guys are going to have to throw down some money to us. So if you want to expel somebody from Guatemala or wherever, we might take them. We might let them stay here. Not everybody, but we're going to do that for you guys. We're going to do that. Kind of the remain in Mexico policy, which is the policy that works.
There is an argument. The last thing I want to do is waste more taxpayer dollars on this.
Yes.
There is an argument that we would be better off in the long run if we spent money in El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua.
We do that already.
And tried to keep people there as opposed to wait for them to come to the southern border to deal with it.
The problem is,
there's an argument it would save you money in the long run.
How much money do we give? Wise man, look up and see how much money we give, like Honduras and stuff, on a yearly basis for us. Here's the issue with that. Where's that money go? There's the problem
solid
with
argument.
That. That's the problem. I mean, yes, wouldn't it be better if we go in? See, we would have to go in a lot of these places who are running because they got gangs everywhere and stuff like that. We're not going to go in militarily and crush their gangs. So these people, so we go and give money to, you know, Guatemala or Honduras, or which one is the guy that has everything on crypto? Is that Guatemala?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, the guy's, everything is crypto.
We've switched over to crypto.
He's gone all crypto. He was the former comedian or actor and stuff.
A crazy story.
Yeah. So, but there's a great argument to be made there.
But like, you understand what I'm saying.
Because I always say, you know, you want to get mad at
pay
these people.
Pay me now, pay me later.
Get mad at their governments for failing them so bad that they feel they have to go. And by
the
way,
it's worth risking their lives, giving up everything to trek to the Mexico-U.S. border. It's still better than staying in this bleep hole.
They would rather be in a position of near death, being trafficked, and homeless in other countries than live in their country.
There. Yeah.
That's scary.
That's where, for me also, I have a level of sympathy because I can't imagine getting to that point.
Every one of you listening right now would do the exact same thing. If I had to feed my family, and the only way to do it was to take a trek that is dangerous beyond anything that we can imagine to get to a place where I can cross the border illegally so I can work under the table and send money home to feed my family in hopes of one day reuniting by bringing them there, I would absolutely do that in that position.
Yeah. It doesn't make it right. I'm with you. I understand
it. No, it doesn't. But we've allowed this to happen. So Mexico's decided, hey, you know what, guys? We're going to do you guys a solid. You send us a bunch of money. You can repatriate people over here to our country.
Okay.
And while they wait for their adjudication on their asylum claims, they can stay here.
Mm.
So what we got there over there, Wise Man? Something?
$1.2 billion invested in Honduras from the United States in the year 2021.
Yeah, let's see where that money is. $1.2 billion. I doubt it went to the places it was supposed to. It probably went to crypto. That's not going well.
But I think that's a fair argument.
Yeah.
Just handing it over to the government, they're going to spend it on whatever the hell they want. Could we being the U.S., be doing more to mitigate people leaving?
Well, that was the whole that was what's her name? The vice president, Kamala Harris. You know, she's phenomenal. We can continue to do what we do, and we do these things every day. That was her big thing. Let's invest in these companies so they don't come here. Well, then everybody's like, we do invest in these companies and they still come here, because somewhere between giving them the money and it getting to the people, it disappears.
It all ends up in a Swiss bank.
That's exactly it.
The Gatos Big Q poll question, brought to you by your Valley Toyota dealers.
We do it every single day. It is the big Q. Gatos not here this week. The wise man in for Gatos when he's on with old Mike Broomhead. What you got for us today?
Biden sending 1,500 troops to the southern border. Is this going to help fix the problem? Yes or no?
No.
Oh, I can't imagine that's going well.
No. It's Tom Homan said it today. I was with the Department of Homeland Security, I think, for a long time. He said, this is just to help make it easier and smoother for people to come across here. What is the result so far, young Steve?
Let's see. I'm going to vote no. 84% of people said no.
Yeah. Smart folks.
Yeah, smart folks.
I think Senator Sinema said it pretty well yesterday, though. You'd rather have the 1,500 bodies than not.
Better 1,500 than zero?
But we'd all be pretty naive to think that that fixes the problem in its entirety.
Agreed.
Yeah. And because you're sending 1,600 people that can do back office stuff.
Right, but again,
1,600 judges would be better.
I don't want to make it sound like I'm trying to be remedial.
Big words.
The people who are going to be coming across the border when Title 42 sunsets, expires, whatever, one week from tonight.
Yeah.
Are coming and attempting to apply for asylum,
which is legal
process in the United States. We are ill-prepared to deal with the volume of people making legal asylum claims.
Yes.
So like you said, 1,500 immigration judges, whatever, public defenders who represent them in the court. I don't know what it, I wish I knew the whole process. But we don't have the volume to deal with the people coming here attempting to use our laws. They will, if you don't like them, change the law. They exist.
Which they'll never do, which they should do, because they figured out a rule in our law that they can use our asylum to gain access to our country. And then, well, what happens from there? What are they talking about? 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, depending on where you're in the country, 24 months before you ever see a judge.
Before you ever get in front of an immigration judge to adjudicate your claim.
And then
of
you
asylum.
Can appeal it and all. It's you're here. It's once you get here, the victory is yours.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
They know
he is the young Mr. Bruce St. James, and here with the young Jed Benson, the old Gatos. We'll be back on
every
Monday.
Every time you say young, my heart flutters.
I know, mine too, because I feel like I tell everybody I'm 47. It's a lie. I'm not 47. I just want you guys to know that. coming up, what the heck is equitable grading? We'll talk a bit about that. So many other things to get to. And, of course, at the bottom of the hour, we're going to be holding up the headlines. And today's victim is going to be Deborah Dale, who's in for Becky. It is the Gatos and Chad Show.
The Gatos and Chad Show, afternoons.
Equitable grading.
I don't know what that is.
I'm going to tell you what it is, right?
Okay.
So we're trying to move away from it. Tom Horn is asking to scrap the school's new equitable grading system. Okay. So the equitable grading system here in California works, I mean, here in Arizona, California, New York, Chicago. I mean, did you go anywhere in the country? They all have their version of
that's
it.
That's a thing.
That's a thing. This one, essentially, it starts at 50% in the name of equity. So if you do nothing.
Nothing
you,
at all.
You get a 50.
Do you realize what my GPA would have been?
So in today's education, it says we have a war between excellence and mediocrity. So the equitable, compassionate, or standards-based grading promotes mediocrity. That's what Tom Horn said on a statement Monday. Test scores show that students are not learning enough to properly complete or compete in an internationally competitive economy.
I agree with that.
100%. So
I don't agree with everything Tom Horton says. I agree with that.
Yeah. So you got Sunnyside, Agua Fria Union, Deer Valley, Flagstaff, Levine, Liberty Arts Academy, Roosevelt, Santa Cruz
Valley.
And
they all grade this way.
They all Phoenix Union all grade where it's the equitable grading. You start at 50%. So if you're starting at 50% and the test, though, in theory, if you got 100, you would get 150. So, I mean, if you think about it, so if I only get 20% of them right.
You put your name on enough papers, you're already up to a D.
So, but if I only get 20% of the questions right, and I start at 50, that means I get a 70, which is a C.
You're doing math, and I don't know how to do
that's
that.
That's awful. This push in this country and this Western society for mediocrity is ridiculous.
Well, I would make the argument we're doing nobody.
No.
Nobody any favors.
You're not helping kids who struggle.
We are doing a disservice to students by artificially lowering the standards.
Yes.
By passing, allowing graduation, promotion for students who are not prepared for the next grade. and by graduating students from high school who are not prepared in any way, shape, or form to compete in the global economy.
Or compete. And there are kids in, across the country who can't read.
Right.
You know, what was it today? The eighth grade. Most kids today can't even pass
a history test. By the way, can we give ourselves credit? Now, granted, it took four of us, but
we were also watching soccer. We were also doing other things.
We did pass a eighth grade history exam. But, the four of us.
Yeah, and how long? I mean, I haven't seen it inside of a schoolroom in forever and a day. Kids can't. They can't read. They struggle at reading. They struggle at writing. We are falling further and further behind in so many things. And we spend more money than almost any other country on the planet in education.
It's ridiculous. I noticed my nephew is a senior in high school. Don't worry, he doesn't listen. And I am amazed at how little school he does. I used to get up in the morning and have to go to school.
Yes.
And I was at school all day long. I was schooling. Like, I didn't have a choice. I got home at 3, and then there'd be maybe homework or stuff. There was schooling. He doesn't do any of that. Most of his stuff's online, maybe a couple hours a day. He only goes 2 days a week. Like, it's bizarre.
It is
weird. Like, is he still in school? Like, oh, yeah, he's a senior. Is he going to graduate?
A senior senior
like
something.
3.9 GPA. He never goes to school.
They've made school rather, you know, so it's really hard. It's like, I don't think it's really hard. I think it's really, you know.
We're grading on a curve. It ain't really hard compared to, let me tell you.
Like, let me tell you about carrying my actual backpack.
Had to walk uphill both ways?
Both ways. Well, I didn't have to walk uphill, but I rode my bike about 5 miles to go to school with my backpack because I had books and homework.
My nephew will Uber to school some days.
Oh, my God. Lazy. You fly a lot. You're going to be on a plane here in a couple days. See what our good friends at Southwest are doing? They're going to expand the bins.
It's about time.
Yeah.
It's about time. Other airlines have already done this. A little bit of a trick. When you get on the plane, the overhead bins where you put your bags, people would put them in. Now you turn them sideways like a book, and you can get more in.
It's all about Jenga.
Yeah. It's Tetris. Like Tetris.
Yeah.
But you instead of putting your bag in flat, turn it on its side, and then we can fit more bags in the overhead bin. So that's something that other airlines have kind of been doing for a while. Southwest has expanded the bins to do that. But the thing that I was shocked, and apparently I haven't flown Southwest in a while, they don't all have USB and electrical ports.
A lot of places don't.
Is this the Wright brothers?
A lot of them don't. Well, the planes, they're just not retrofitting them. They're older. They're still in the air. They make it from point A to point B.
I get on a plane, and I can't plug a USB, and I'm like, I'm getting off this plane. You guys got other ones.
This thing may not even make it. I don't care if you guys are putting tape on stuff.
This plane's older than me. It must be older than me, because I'm not flying in a plane that I can't plug the USB.
Yeah, that is a, because we were talking earlier, like, if you're flying international, man, you got to have the TV screen. You got to have games. You got to have like everything.
I got 8-9 hours to kill here.
Yeah,
but I'm not going to be able to read the exit row manual enough times.
What's the in-flight thing? What's that?
They don't even do anymore.
Oh, they don't even do that.
There's no more in-flight stuff.
Oh,
no, they don't.
What was that magazine that you used to buy things?
Air Mall.
Yeah, where you'd be like, hey, you know what? There's a $2,500 cat litter thing here that looks like it's a table.
You get so bored mid-flight, like, that's it. I'm buying it.
That's it. I've had enough drinks. Let's buy some of these things.
I'm doing it.
Oh, that is so if you're in the last row,
oh boy,
at Southwest with the expansion of the bins, you will be able, because
hopefully you can still get your bags.
Don't you hate that when you walk up and they're like, we need to take your bags because they put in that little thing and we're gonna have to give it to you on the other side.
Can I give you the Snooty Bruce here for a second?
I love it. Snooty Bruce.
I usually the first one on the plane, I don't have to worry about that.
Snooty Bruce, that's because dropping names and talking about how white privileged he is.
I am all about white privilege.
Speaking of white privilege, score the hottest tickets in town, Suns playoff tickets. All you have to do, so your chance to win, you text ticket to 411-923. You register, listen for your name today during, this morning, 7 a.m., 11 a.m., and 4 p.m. Next hour, we're going to do it.
That's coming up next hour.
That's right. So this will give you a chance to qualify for games 3 and 4 to see them take on the Nugs. If you want to go, you better do it quick. Text right now, tickets to 411-923. All right, so we're going to hold up the headlines. We've got a new person in the seat today, Deborah Dale. She's, you ready? Yes. All right, we're going to see how she does here. We're grading on a curve, and our curve starts at 0. Gators and Chat Show.
KTAR on air, 92.3 FM, online at KTAR.com, and streaming live on the KTAR News app. Your breaking news and traffic now.
You pointed at me. You know when you point, I'm going. I'm like Ron Burgundy, for God's sakes. Every single day at this time, we hold up the headlines. Normally, Becky Lynn is here, but now we've got a substitute, and quite a substitute indeed. We are honored, our honored guest, Deborah Dale, for holding up the headlines.
Well, thank you. At 3:30, I'm Deborah Dale, and here is our top story.
Arizona's immigration crisis.
The only hospital in the Yuma border sector is bracing for the end of Title 42 and a possible surge in patients. Michelle Headington with the Yuma Regional Medical Center says they're working to increase staffing with one big challenge.
Nursing staff and all the support services that you need to care for patients are at a premium right now. So doing that with no way to bill people is where it really starts to get tough.
Headington stresses they'll continue to provide care to anyone walking through their doors despite being owed more than $26 million in medical bills.
Oof.
I know, bummer story. Sorry.
Holding up the headlines. Becky Lynn reads the news while Gatos and Chad interrupt and react to the day's top stories.
This is like Biden's immigration plan. It's going right in the dirt. We've talked to Doug Nichols, who is the mayor of Yuma. He's talked about the fact that $26 plus million, they're upside down. They know what's coming. It's only going to get worse. Even Lori Lightfoot, the awful disgrace, soon to be ex-mayor of Chicago, has said that their hospitals in some areas are overrun because people are coming here from other countries and they're being bused there. And the first thing they do is go straight to the hospital. But this is going to get much worse.
Yeah, without a doubt. And you're going to see this not just in Yuma, but in Nogales, Tucson, El Paso,
Brownsville, McAllen,
all the way along where the social structure and the way that we can take care of people is going to be stretched to the limits.
Absolutely. We're holding up the headlines.
Well, Democratic Congressman Ruben Gallegos says the extra troops President Biden's sending to the U.S. southern border, 1,500 of them, can help with logistics ahead of the end of Title 42.
You know, I think we should continue to do everything we can under the law, as long as it's helping these border communities relieve some of the pressure that they're receiving from these migrant flows.
Gallego admits the situation at the border is a humanitarian issue that's affecting border communities.
He's a buffoon. But he is, he's pushing this, I think he's running for something from what I hear, right? And he run for...
I'm led to believe.
Yeah, he is running for something, and he is just kissing the butt of the White House. This is a joke, the way this is being handled. Yes, it is a humanitarian crisis, but it's also one that we have made, and we're making it worse.
Well, we can agree, though, that 1,500 is better than zero? Didn't Kirsten Sinema say that?
Yeah, it is
day?
Better than zero.
1,500 is better than none. But this is a problem.
But a week before, you didn't think about this?
It seems like there's also going to be, by Thursday at about noon, there's going to be a whole bunch of other problems they hadn't thought of yet.
That is so government right there. We're holding up the headlines.
A Valley woman was killed on a hiking trail last week, and police are asking the public to help identify a suspect. KTAR's Luke Forstner live in the news center with the story.
Well, Deborah, Phoenix police say they believe 28-year-old Lauren Heike was attacked from behind last Friday at about 10 in the morning while hiking on a trail near 65th Street and Libby Lane in North Phoenix. Phoenix Police Lieutenant James Hester says they're still looking for a suspect and are asking the public for help.
We are looking for a male between 5'8 and 6 foot tall, wearing dark clothing and a backpack. We believe someone would have noticed this person either before the attack or after he fled from our scene.
And Hester recommends the community be cautious as the search continues. You can read more at KTAR.com. Live from the news center, Luke Forstner, KTAR News.
You're a hiker. You're out there. It's desolate. If something like that's going to, like, you're thinking to yourself, did she know the person? Were they out there together?
Yeah, but isn't exactly the middle of nowhere either. If you think about where this trailhead is.
Pull up the map.
Well, it's kind of like over by the Mayo Clinic off the 101. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's not really
some of that open desert and open
trails. This isn't one of those out in the middle of somewhere where nobody will find you scenarios.
No. Yeah, and you go hiking. We talked the other day. Make sure you got your water and make sure you're prepared for the thing and sunscreen or whatever it might be. You don't think you're going to be the victim of a crime out there.
No. But it's the crime usually is a crime to yourself because you don't take enough stuff with you. But this is not one of those desolate areas.
No.
That's why this is a very interesting thing. And, did she know somebody? Did she meet somebody? Or was she out there on her own? Tragic. That's a question that people will ask. We're holding up the headlines.
KTAR Eyes on Parenting, the American Academy of Pediatrics.
The hell was that?
That was vaping.
Oh, okay.
That was a vaping noise.
That was vape.
Says 1 in 6 high school students use tobacco or nicotine products. Dr. Susan Wally, the co-author of the agency's new tobacco policy statement, thinks she knows one reason why.
E-cigarettes and vape products, they come in thousands of flavors. And these are child-appealing flavors like Sour Patch Kids, things like Death by Chocolate, Red Velvet.
Wally believes banning these flavors would go a long way in reducing the number of minors using tobacco or nicotine products.
How about this? Okay, how about this one right here? The only flavor you can get in is like vomit. Jeez Louise. So if that's the only flavor you could get, what do you think? People like, you know, I don't think I'm going to vape.
You know, I go back on vaping. You know, vaping was originally invented to try to help people stop smoking.
Yeah. And then it became cool.
And apparently it worked for a lot of folks. You could dial down the nicotine, if you will. And there's no doubt that vaping is better for you than smoking. Like, that is not an argument. So now, because the product is being misused, come on.
Yeah, well, they're, you know, it's like they're, you know, it's like, do you guys want cotton candy?
What? I would.
Hey, you know what? First of all, what man wants to vape cotton candy?
I might take it up if it's cotton candy.
Oh, my Lord, we're holding up the headlines.
KTAR Eyes on the Economy. If you're looking for a job, the Greater Phoenix Chamber can help. KTAR's Shira Tanzer joins us live and lets us know how.
They held a Connect to Work event this morning for potential employers who can post applications on a website that connects them to job seekers. Jennifer Meller with the Greater Phoenix Chamber Foundation says they're working with applicants to make sure they're qualified for the roles they're applying for.
We will be working with a lot of community partners that provide training that we can help connect those job seekers to. And then once they get that proper training, we can actually take them that last mile to connect them to the job.
You can check out the job opportunities at connecttoworkaz.com. Live in the news center, Shira Tanzer, KTAR News.
Jobs are available. Jump on them while you can, because they're slowly but surely may not be as available and easy to find in the future.
Well, listen, I wonder where the disconnect is, because we hear about, you know, unemployment being at near record lows. And so if you're looking for a job, how hard is it to find one these days?
That's the question, right? Like,
well,
how hard? Unless they're not real. Like, that's always been one of the things that a lot of those job postings.
A scam?
Not so much a scam, but they're just kind of collecting resumes and things of that nature that's available out there. Yeah, so we'll see. But sounds like things are slowing down because the job openings have come down to the lowest point in 2 years. We're holding up the headlines. We do it every single day. Hey, Deborah Dale was kind enough to join us to hold up the headlines. Brought to you by Carol Royce, carolistbuyers.com. Carol Royce, your home sold guaranteed realty. Water bill rates going up because, you know, they're never going to go down.
Never.
Plus, the Texas shooter has been arrested, but he wasn't the only one arrested. Wait till you hear where he was hiding.
Hey, we've got him. The hottest ticket in town. How would you like to get your son's playoff tickets? All you have to do is text the word ticket to 411-923. You register, listen for your name today in the 4 o'clock hour. My goodness, we're 20 some odd minutes away from it. You could get tickets to game 3 or game 4. See the Suns take on the Clippers tonight.
No, the Nuggets.
Nuggets. Why do you think it says Clippers?
Because we have
I
problems.
Apologize.
Whole show is kind of going sideways.
I'm right Ron Burgundy. The word is ticket.
411-923.
Ticket to 411-923. We're calling out a name next time.
All right. We might get that one right. We'll talk more about Texas and water and who knows what else straight ahead. He's the one. Let Bruce St. James in for Gatos.
This is the Gatos and Chad Show.
Oh, what a great song. We're bouncing up in here. Not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Who's this? Who's this, Pablo? Not in the Rock and Roll Hall
Not
of Fame?
Not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
All right, so is Vicente in there?
No, it is an outrage. I will never walk into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame until Vicente Fernandez is in.
Must be in.
I'm outraged.
Must be in. All right, water's a big deal here in Arizona.
You think?
You've got a great story. Prices are going up, kids, so be prepared to be prepared.
Yeah, hopefully you're sitting down for it, because why not? The price of everything else is going up. They're going to have public meetings, which I think are a complete waste of time, because as far as I can tell, I got to be careful I say it. I don't want to slander people directly. The organizations in charge of setting things like rates are in the pockets of the people. The only way they get elected is by taking money from the people whose rates
somebody
they set.
Somebody is getting paid, and those people who are getting paid don't care about your rates going up.
The proposal is your water rates will go up 6.5% this year. 13% in another year, another 6.5%, and then 13%. It's just going to keep going up, up, and up. I'm a firm believer, and it's not sexy or do it. I know way too much about water.
Yeah,
water rights, the Colorado River, the CAP, and I still believe the next big wars will be fought over water.
Oh, 100%. There's no doubt about that. Has to, and I'm not just here. We're talking about globally. People are, it's, what was that movie with Kevin Costner? Waterworld.
Waterworld.
It's all going to be about water and finding water in certain areas.
Think about this. You know, whether you, whatever reason you believe that the planet might be getting warmer in certain areas, it certainly feels like Phoenix is one of those places where the temperature is beginning hotter, earlier, longer. We've had higher highs, et cetera. At some point, you won't be able to afford the water or the electricity to sustain life in the desert. I mean, that's the concern.
Well, I mean, the beauty of who we are. Well, now, of course, we have AI. But the beauty of who we are is the overcoming of stuff.
Technology will find a solution. I believe that.
Yeah, 100%. So that's why I don't worry about what's going on. It's hotter, it's this, it's that.
But here's the issue with water. I don't know if you know this. I know that you know this. I say it because I like to try to be smarter than Chad. It doesn't happen very often. About 3% of the Earth's water is drinkable.
Yes.
Fresh water. A lot of it's locked up in ice caps, by the way. But the rest of it is salt water or the seawater, right? Since the beginning of recorded time, that number is stayed at about 3%. So if you live in a place where suddenly there isn't enough water, you need to assume that somewhere else there's people swimming. You know what I'm saying? Like, the water just moved around the planet. It didn't disappear.
Yes.
It's the same amount. It's just not where you wish it was. Right?
It's evolving. It's always shaping. The Earth is always, there's always something
like the
moving.
The Sahara Desert's been expanding for decades, you know? That's not people doing it. It's doing it.
We've got, you know, Elon Musk has talked about it. Several other scientists have talked about it. Said, look, we have all the natural resources we could ever use in forever and a day. It's just how do we access them and where are they going to be? Because some of those natural resources are places where people aren't.
So think about it. Yeah, exactly. Are we, Arizonans, Phoenicians, going to have to move to where the water is? Or how will technology move the water to us?
I think it's going to be technology that will move it to us. We will figure that out.
Colorado River ain't going to be enough.
No, it is not. Not right now.
It ain't going to be enough.
But you overcome. That's the, you know, it's like whenever I hear the climate nut jobs are out there screaming and yelling, Michael Schellenberger always says, here's the thing. There is zero in the climate religion at the UN that says that this is the end of humanity and civilization. There is none of that doomsday thing. And because of technology, we shall overcome.
Can I tell you one of the craziest things I've heard?
Yeah.
I say crazy. Maybe it's the smartest. We have oil pipelines that go, gas pipelines that go across the world.
I've thought about it for,
there is
that
a proposal,
is so smart.
There is a proposal for a water pipeline from the Mississippi River out to the mouth of the Colorado to keep replenishing and put more water down the Colorado, which makes its way down because the Mississippi has too much damn water. It keeps flooding everywhere.
So smart right there. Smart people will help us overcome. We shall find a way. Bruce St. James in for Jados coming up. Oh, my Lord. Homelessness growing here. Why is that? And she's hiding Bibles, which makes everybody feel like it's a dangerous place to work. There's a Bible over there. Are you just happy? What? Okay, let's chat.